It's been 44 years since the Spanish dictator Francisco Franco was buried in the mausoleum, the Valley of the Fallen. That location is important because the site has become a shrine for the far right and is loathed by many Spaniards. Today, Franco's body was exhumed, and the world watched as the Spanish government moved the dictator, whose regime is responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, to a family plot. This raises important questions about the politics of memory and how countries should reconcile with their sometimes complicated and dark histories. We're joined now by Oberlin Professor of Hispanic Studies, Sebastian Faber, for more about this day in Spanish history. Welcome, Sebastian.
Great to be on the show.
Well, first, can you tell us a little bit more about this monument, the history of it, and why it's so important, why there's so much controversy around it?
Well, the Valley of the Fallen was an idea of Francisco Franco himself. Franco came to power in Spain at the end of a three-year civil war that ended in 1939, which he won with the considerable help of Nazi Germany and Fascist Italy and the support of the Vatican. And that initiated a military dictatorship that he would head and that would last until his death in 1975, so almost 40 years. From the 1950s on, he also had the support of the United States. He came up with the idea of the Valley of the Fallen right after the end of the Civil War, and he initially conceived of it as a massive mausoleum and monument for those who had fallen on his side of the Spanish Civil War fighting against the Spanish Republic. Later on, he changed his idea about that, and he said it would be for fallen on any side of the war. And then when he had died himself, it was the Spanish government decided to bury him in that same place. Until then, the people buried there included the founder of the Spanish Fascist Party, La Falange Española, whose name was José Antonio Primo de Rivera, and 33,000 or so bodies of victims of battle or other types of violence during the Spanish Civil War. Mm. And interestingly, the place hasn't changed really at all since then. In addition to this massive monument, which consists of a basilica hewn out into live rock, a massive esplanade, a monastery where still which still houses an order of small order of Benedictine monks. And like you said, it has been kind of a pilgrimage site for those nostalgic of his regime, that is the Spanish extreme right.
Yeah. Thinking about the move to exhume him, is this a political move? It's been something the Spanish Socialist Party, PSOE, has wanted to do for a while but hasn't been able to do because of unrest in Catalonia. And then there is the general election in November in Spain. What do you make of all of this?
It's definitely a political move in the sense that the Socialist Party sees this as an important symbolic gesture to confirm its commitment to move Spain into the 21st century and away from its Francoist legacy. The reason that it took so long has to do with the way in which Spain conceived of its transition to democracy in the late 70s. The main idea of the transition was to leave the past, not mess with it, and just move ahead into the future. Ideas about that started changing around 2000. And it was a previous socialist government that in 2007 managed to pass a law of historical memory that for the first time really started to process or to come to account with some elements of Spain's 20th century legacy. And that law also included, for example, the stipulation that no longer could official commemorations of Francoism take place at the Valley of the Fallen. They have anyway since then, but now it's officially illegal to celebrate Franco's legacy. Spain is quite different from Germany in the way that it still thinks about the legacy of the Franco regime. In Germany, it's not allowed to celebrate Nazism. In Spain, it's perfectly legal to celebrate Francoism or to sing Francoist hymns or to display Francoist flags.
So this move, moving him to his family's burial plot, that will change then people's ability to do that?
To some extent, the new plot is still a public plot. One of the gripes of the left, especially in Spain, has been the fact that the Valley of the Fallen is a public monument. It's maintained with taxpayers' money. Mm-hmm. The new plot still continues to be a public plot. So the critics say, look, it's okay that you move him, but it's still going to be taxpayer funded. And it's really not fair to have the victims or descendants of the victims of the Franco dictatorship continue to pay for his burial place so many years after his death and after the end of the regime. Mm-hmm. There are other complaints having to do with the exhumation from the left that say, look, the exhumation, it's an important symbolic gesture, we agree, but it's only really the tip of the iceberg of a long laundry list of other legacies of Francoism that continue to be undealt with, that still have to be accounted for. Mm-hmm. And it's not at all clear whether the socialist government is willing to go farther than this particular gesture.
Which really takes me here to the United States, where we are also reconciling with our own politics of memory, with moves to take out Confederate monuments across the country. I'm wondering from you, what does Spain's decision tell us about how modern societies perhaps are addressing their historical wrongs?
It's kind of tempting to see Spain as a special case, right? It's a European country that had a military dictatorship well into the 1970s, and that makes it kind of exceptional. And it's also tempting to compare Spain to a country like Germany, which in the past half century has been much more rigorous in the way that it has accounted for the legacies of Nazism. But really, when you think about it, like you say, the kinds of questions, the kinds of big questions that Spain is grappling with today have to do with historical justice and what to do with the legacies of historical injustice. And in that sense, a country like the United States has similar kinds of questions to face. Like you say, the legacies of the Confederacy in the South, what to do with the physical traces of the Confederacy, for example, statues or even holidays, are important questions that are really likely and that have stirred up contemporary political controversy, as we know. Mm-hmm. In the same way that in Spain, one of the legacies of Francoism is socioeconomic, in the sense that this almost 40-long-year dictatorship allowed individuals, families, and corporations to amass massive fortunes through mm-hmm. their connections to the regime, fortunes that today continue to exist. Even the Franco family is a hugely wealthy family that's never been asked to account for its wealth. In that same way, you could say that in the United States, economic questions are also part of this historical justice issue, right? Because the whole discussion about reparations for slavery is ultimately also an economic discussion. I mean, it's complicated enough to know what to do with statues and monuments and holidays. It's even more complicated how to properly account for present legacies of past injustices if they're economic in nature, mm-hmm. because it really goes to one of the main questions, which is what is the responsibility of present generations for past injustices that they didn't themselves commit, whose results and legacies they continue to either suffer or enjoy. But what is good to see is that both Spain and some groups in the United States are really trying to learn from each other and to look at examples elsewhere in the world as potential roads to get to a more just situation. A good example, I think, is the memorial to lynching that went up last year in Montgomery, Alabama, through the Equal mm-hmm. Justice Initiative, headed by Brian Stevenson, which very consciously looks at countries like Germany as a model to think about how the United States might deal with its legacies of racial injustice. And in Spain, in the same way, the big question is what to do with the Valley of the Fallen after Franco's body has been removed. And what they're looking at is, for example, the way that Germany has turned former concentration camps into spaces for education without erasing or demolishing them, leaving them in the way that they looked when they were abandoned, but turning them into spaces of reflection and education. And this, hopefully, is what will happen to the Valley of the Fallen in Spain.
Sebastian Faber is professor of Hispanic Studies at Oberlin College. Thank you, Sebastian.
Absolutely.